night. In Jesus' mighty name.
Radio.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I thank God for the sound of the shofar. It's a war cry. It gets God's attention. We thank you for joining us tonight. You're listening to Gatekeepers Global Ministry. And I'm so excited about the broadcast, more excited this evening than I was this morning, because the devil has tried me from every direction and thrown out his best shot today. And he's still lost. He's still a loser. My first Facebook account was hacked, and if he thinks that Facebook is important to me, he just hacked the wrong thing, hit the wrong target, and it's like hit or miss with him. And he missed it today. I just laughed. I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He just shows forth how strong God has brought this ministry to fruition, how strong he has made us and not we ourselves. Hallelujah, how strong the wall is that I am building and that we are building. Hallelujah. To give God all the glory, honor, and praise, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Who cares about some social media? Hallelujah. I give God all the praise because he has this. He's mad about this topic. God can always give us victory in every storm, every situation. And God showed me that I have, as a TI, as a targeted individual, I am a transformed individual because he's brought some of us to this place as targeted individuals where we come, where we can come from a place of victory in Jesus. And that's where we have to come from tonight and maintain it and stay there, no matter what the enemy sends our way. We have the victory. We have the victory. We may not feel like overcomers, but we are. Sometimes we may not feel like we have the victory, but we do. And we want to encourage you tonight as TIs, whether you're calling in or streaming in. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Kazris, CEO and founder of Gatekeepers Ministry International. This is just one part of Gatekeepers Ministry International. You're listening to Gatekeepers Global Ministry. I thank God for it. I don't broadcast as often as I used to because God just has me traveling and placing my consecrated holy feet in other lands, in other countries, sharing my book, How to Win a Soul to Christ and Make It a Lifestyle, in other lands, in other countries. And we just praise God tonight. I praise God for my guest speakers, Minister Julia Thompson and Minister, Dr. Pastor Millicent Black. I'm honored to have them on the broadcast tonight, and our bishops that are going to explain what Holy Communion is in detail, give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ, repent for your sins, and prepare your heart to take Holy Communion with us. So I just want to say right now, however you're listening to us, get your juice, your bread, your cracker, your matzah, or your red wine. And if you don't have none of that, then just fill up a glass a little bit with some water. But get, I know you got a cracker or a piece of bread in your house. Just bring it before the table where you're sitting, listening to the broadcast and participating. And you can participate with us as well. And that's towards the end of the broadcast. I'm so honored that God has chose me before the foundation of the world to lift up his name, to even write a book, not about myself or other people, to write a book about winning souls to Jesus Christ. My God, I'm honored that he gave me the mindset. I sat and wrote the manual through one of the hardest periods of my life with this gang stalking and the way I have been treated with church leaders, with stuff going from one to the other, and they don't have enough Bible and Holy Ghost in them to even talk to me about it. And God placed my mind on soul winning, and had me sit down at my cousin's table in Philadelphia, and within an eight-hour period, after I had gathered information, got Bible information, my own experiences, put all of that together as a soul winner, and being on the street soul winning, being in hospitals and a nursing home soul winning, not using anybody else's method, but just as the Holy Spirit gave it to me on how you can win a soul to Christ and make it your lifestyle, how you can talk to somebody in a supermarket or at the gas station, how you can talk to somebody in Walmart about their life in Christ or your life in Christ and lead them to the Lord. So I give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory tonight about my four guests on tonight. I'm excited. I got these two specialists. That's how I look at them. Minister Julia and Dr. Millicent, I picked them because they can articulate what a TI goes through like nobody else I know. They articulate the technology. They articulate the history of it. They articulate it very well, how it started, the name of the technology, the different names, how it works, where it comes from, the various places, who would resort to using it against people they don't even know, who would stoop to the devil's level and use it on a child of God, a holy vessel, a committed, faithful believer, a blood-washed woman of God, a blood-washed man of God, and sit back like we were entertainment methods. Like we were supposed to be part of a technology to entertain these people because they don't have anything better to do. But I have this final story that I glory in persecution. I thank God for it. I know he goes before me and makes every crooked way straight, that my hands won't be used to do it, that my mindset, that my transformed mind would never think of doing this kind of stuff to even my enemy. So I praise God tonight, and I want to encourage somebody from two scriptures. I'm going to read Psalm 59. I decided on every TI broadcast that I'm going to open the broadcast with prayer and then read Psalm 59. Because Psalm 59 will make the TI see where God has remembered you and thought about you in his word. Where people from wherever they are that don't even know you know nothing about your love for people and your love for God and the investment that you have made and what you bring to the table, the investment you have made into the kingdom of God, would use this kind of technology on you to harm you, to hurt you. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we know and recognize how much we need you. We need you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you're doing. We thank you that nothing goes on in our lives without you seeing and knowing about it. If you could catch someone in a desert place after they had just been totally rejected and speak to them, a woman that even worship you, and you have so much mercy and love for her and her pregnancy, Hagar. Lord, we know that as women of God, you see us. You are El Roy. You see me. Nobody sees me like you. They can't look through technology and see me like you. They can't look through technology and see any of us that they have targeted like you see us, separated from the world. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that your hand is upon our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you say holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that we choose not to be a part of this, but people have made us a part of this. But we stand on your word and we glory in persecution because the devil hates what we represent. And we represent you, Jesus. And we thank you and we give you praise. Hallelujah. We thank you. One day you will speak to the church, people that say they love you. Because your word says, if my people that are called by my name, because there's a lot of people that say that they're called by your name, but they're not humble, or you wouldn't have said, will humble themselves. And only pride would make a believer use the technology to invade the privacy of another true believer. That's what I said. Because one day God is going to say that he never, ever gave permission to anybody, especially a preacher in the pulpit, especially people that are sitting in the pews, to use technology to invade the portion in my life and a TI's life that God has given us, and that's our privacy. I remember in your word, Lord God, where it says busybody is a sin. And I'm seeing more and more people on social media saying, mind your own business. But I remember when John Hagee preached that busybody is in the same verse as a murderer. Because as soon as you find out my business and you don't like it, you pass it on to somebody else so they don't like it. So you're in a web of sin. This technology has had you. So, Father, we lift this up to you and this broadcast tonight. We ask, God, that you would spread yourself across the nations, that you would cause TIs that are hurting and that are hurting physically from these electronic assaults on their body, that you would encourage them tonight from your word, from my ministers on tonight, my guests, and from Holy Communion. Lord Jesus, we thank you for going to the cross for us, for dying for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you allowed them to hang you up naked, nothing covering your loins, your chest, or your back, but the cross. We thank you, Jesus, because you knew one day that through technology they would be able to see your women of God, holy vessels, naked. And, Lord, you showed me that there's no shame. There was no shame with them hanging you up naked. And you removed the shame, Lord God, that the enemy tried to have me walk in, because men, low life, thoughtless men in the world and in the church would let me know that they've seen me naked and it's nothing to them. I don't ask that you have mercy on them, Lord. I ask that you judge them. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing we can do. We surrender to you, and we give place for you to judge them. In the name of Jesus. Father, bless Minister Julia and Dr. Millicent tonight. Use them for your glory. Bless Bishop Sylvester Wright and Bishop John Bronson. Oh, my God. Bless them. Bless them and continue to anoint them and these ministers speaking tonight. Place your hedge of protection around them again and again. Keep the blood of Jesus, Adonai, the blood of your son covering them. I dispatch holy angels around them right now. I dispatch holy angels throughout the first and second heaven to line the airwaves, to prevent any frequencies from attacking or interrupting this ministry from going forth into the nations globally. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this platform. I thank you that I'm a soul winner. I thank you, Lord, for the streets that I'm going to hit in the territory that you've assigned for me in the region, Lord God. I ask, God, that you move everything blocking me, move it out of my way. It has cost me a fortune not to be there, not to be where I'm supposed to be. And you know what I mean, Lord. And I trust you and I believe you. I'm counting on you. God, I know, God, that your will is going to be done in my life concerning this ministry. So, Father, I thank you for Psalm 59, and I'm going to read it right now. I don't want to read it fast because I want those that are listening for the first time, I just welcome you to Gatekeepers Global Ministry. I thank you for calling in and streaming in. I ask, God, that you would be blessed tonight, that you would listen closely, that you would even get a pen and paper and take some notes. I also want to tell you that being targeted by these microwave frequencies and the electronic assaults to my body, God has showed me a place where I can get relief. And before I read Psalm 59, I want to say, and I pray in Jesus' name, I want to say that Biofreeze, the patches, the Biofreeze roll-on that looks like a roll-on deodorant, and the Biofreeze foam gives me relief in the areas that they have targeted on my body while they're targeting it and when they're not. So I'm telling you, get your little change together, go to Walmart, because it's the cheapest there, and get some of that. The lanacane patches are not as good. The lanacane cream is okay, but Biofreeze is top of the line that will help you get relief in some areas, in those areas that they have attacked you. So in your body, no matter where it is. That's just, I'm sharing you a little bit of nuggets because that's how I have gotten relief, and I believe the Lord has led me. So Psalm 59 says, God is my strong tower. Deliver me from my enemies, my God. Set me on high away from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from workers of iniquity. Rescue me from bloodthirsty men and women. You know, this is what this is. You know, witchcraft is a bloodthirsty, demonic demon. And all of this is bloodthirsty. They're after you down to your blood. They're after you to see you stop succeeding, to see you stop being well, to see you not healthy. That's their motive and objective. Any so-called Christian that participates in this, their mind's not transformed. The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A renewed mind doesn't touch this stuff. Can I get an amen somewhere? For behold, the Bible says, 59 verse 4, they lie in wait for me. Now, don't they just do that? Defiant men and women stir up strife against me. That's what they've done to me in the church. When that stuff started, then it started to affect me. That has affected me more than anything some unsaved person could do to me. Not for my transgression or sin, Adonai, for no guilt of mine, they run and set things up. Awake, help me, look, for you are Adonai, the God of Israel. Rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Show no mercy to any iniquitous traitors, Selah. They return at evening snarling like a dog. Isn't that just like Jezebel? Prowling about the city. See, they are spewing with their mouth, swords in their lips. After all, who is listening? But you, Adonai, are laughing at them. You scoff at all the nations. Oh, my strength, I watch for you. For God is my strong tower. My God, in his loving kindness, will go before me. God will let me look down on my foes. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. With your power, shake them and bring them down. O Lord, our shield. The sin of their mouth is the sword of their lips. So let them be caught in their pride. And that's happening now. For uttering a curse and a lie, consume them in wrath, consume them till they are no more. Let them know that God rules over Jacob to the ends of the earth, Selah. God rules over Linda. God rules over the TI. God rules over Minister Julia. God rules over Dr. Pastor Millicent. If you're a TI and you haven't come to know Jesus and the pardoning of your sins, you'll have an opportunity with Bishop Sylvester Wright in leading you to Christ before we take communion. Because God will rule over you as well. They return at evening, snarling like a dog, prowling about the city. Isn't that something that God has this in this one psalm twice? They wander around for food. If they are not full, they stay up all night. But I sing of your strength. Yes, in the morning I sing aloud of your loving kindness, for you have been my fortress, my God, a refuge in the day of my trouble. Oh, my strength, to you I sing praises, for God is my strong tower, my God of loving kindness. God is a loving, kind God. He shows us ways in his word where we can have victory through this. Through this. Every time I feel a pain from the electro assaults from these people, I used to ask the Holy Spirit to turn their lives around and have mercy on them, that God would use them and that the devil couldn't use them anymore. But they seem to think that that prayer for them is weakness to me. But God has showed me. He brought my mother to me in a dream some months ago. And she said to me, she must know what's going on in my life. The Lord must have let her know up there in heaven. She's in that great cloud of witnesses. And she said to me, God is your avenger. I forgot the word avenger was even in the Bible. Look it up. Because God is our avenger. I just want to pass that on to you, that God is not just my avenger. We have to let him be an avenger by not getting revenge on anybody. Those that get revenge or take revenge, they have already put themselves under the judgment of God, because God says clearly, vengeance is mine. Vengeance belongs to God. He says, I will repay. So when you take vengeance on yourself against somebody that hurt you and put them in a book and let the whole world know how they hurt you and what they did to you, then you have pronounced the judgment of God on yourself. I researched this. I asked a whole lot of anointed men of God about this, and that's what they said to me. And my mother said to me in the dream, God is your avenger. Every time I think about this, every time I wake up in the morning, I know this is something on the TI's heart every day, because these people are used by the devil. And they position themselves where they know you're going. Oh, I know the real deal. It took almost 20 years for me to find out exactly what it was, but I know now. And it's been more than 20 years. And God has showed me how to get victory in this. Now, I'm going to tell you how Paul got victory. I'm going to read this. I want you to, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just going to read this, that this is what my pastor ministered from Sunday, and I said, this is what I'm just going to read. I might say a few words, and then I'm going to turn the broadcast over to Minister Julia. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, I must go on boasting, though it does no good. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Messiah, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. God knows. 14 years ago, he was caught up in the third heaven. You know, there's three heavens. The first and second is where Satan and his demons reside. And the third heaven is where God resides and the holy angels. And the Bible says, on behalf, which a human is not permitted to utter. So when God caught Paul up in the third heaven, he could not utter what happened up there. On such a man I will boast. But about myself I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I should want to boast, I would not be foolish, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain so that no one may think more of me than what he sees in me or hears from me, even though in the extraordinary quality of the revelations. See, Paul had a lot of revelations that wasn't being given to other people in the earth. This is why he says that. So that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me and a messenger of Satan to torment me. So I would not exalt myself. That is a primary scripture right there. And if I'm talking to born-again believers that are going through this, this is it right here. Whatever Paul's thorn in the flesh was, this microwave frequencies, this is what they are. Hallelujah. So you can count yourself. I don't care whether God ever spoke to you or not. God speaks all the time. And if you're a born-again Christian, God has spoke to you. Hallelujah. And people say, prideful people say, she didn't forgive me. That's why she's being tormented. Well, one of these days you're going to eat your words, because God's going to confront you with that deception because you're so prideful of yourself. And you know you deserve because of what you do to other people. You deserve what you get. But as a Christian, we forgive quickly. We don't hold it against the gang stalker or the people that are watching us through technology or sending the frequencies to our bodies. We don't hold it against them. We forgive them quickly and we move on. That's how God can answer our prayers and give us the victory. And this is what Paul talks about. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. This is a scripture that we need to know going through this, because it makes us look weak when we can't retaliate. It makes us look weak where we can't find any shield to protect our body from feeling this type of pain. But the Bible says, God says to Paul, his power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses. We're supposed to be talking about this. We're supposed to be telling other people that people are watching us through technology. They're sending frequencies that we can feel in our bodies. We're not complaining about it. We're talking about it, that this is really happening. That this is really happening. This is the last days technology that the Antichrist is going to use. Who better to use it on but a loving, God-fearing, close-walking, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled believer? So that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. For Messiah's sake, it says, for Jesus' sake, then I delight in weaknesses, insults, in distresses, in persecution, in calamity. Now, these church leaders have sent insult after insult from one to the other, hate mail after hate mail on me since early 2000s. And here it is, 2021. Not one person has stepped up to the plate in my face and said anything to me. No repentance, no I'm sorry, no why I did it, nothing. In persecution and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. That was verse 1 to verse 10. And if you are a born-again Christian and you're listening to me tonight and you're going through the maximum of what I know I'm going through with these gang stalkers and whatever nation they're in, because this stuff is going on all around the world, because Minister Julia and Dr. Millicent is going to tell you about it. I know the feeling when you grasp on what I just read. You'll see this in a whole different light. That's what God wants us to do. See it from a place of victory. My first guest has become a friend. I met her through social media after I did research on targeting, after I went from one YouTube video to another. I was led to her. She has a prayer line. As often as she does it, I have called in. I have ministered on it. She opens her prayer line to TI. She stays on the phone sometimes till 3 o'clock in the morning from TIs that are devastated and hurting. And she has opened her home. We haven't even met face-to-face. She's been on my broadcast a lot. I know her in the spirit and through the Holy Spirit. And I honor her as a woman of God. And I understand what she's going through. Minister Julia Thompson, I just opened your line. You have 40 minutes. And I appreciate... we already talked about this. I want you to listen closely to her because she is going to encourage the TI and tell you how to go through this from a place of victory. God bless you, Julia.
Thank you, Linda. It's such an honor to be on, and I just want to say hello to all of you courageous warriors out there. I want to encourage you that you're not alone. You are not alone. God sees everything, and he's keeping very close track. He's got the most sophisticated technology in the universe. And so I want to cover like three really main different things concerning the targeting. And the first thing is, what is targeting? And, Linda, you talked about a lot of it, and I just think you mentioned some very, very important points. Especially about spiritually how to deal with this. So first of all, we'll just talk a little bit about what targeting is and the kind of things they do. And then I want to look at the root of this, because one of the things I've learned since I've known about the targeting is that when you understand truth, truth sets you free. You know, Jesus said it, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so we're going to kind of look at the root of the targeting program. And then the other thing is, how do we overcome? You know, what are the practical ways? Because I know when this started happening to me, it was in 2014, I was just terrified. I mean, I was shocked. I thought, how could this be happening? Don't I live in a free country? And, you know, it's America, for heaven's sake. And, you know, I was dumbfounded. And... I had a series of people they were like landmark moments, I guess I would call them, where I realized that I was dealing with something that was not something I could overcome in the flesh. And that's one of the most important things I want to say. I'm not opposed to shielding or, you know, things that people can do. I know some people have tried to build their own Faraday cage, and one precious sister actually sleeps under a desk, a granite desk, and she wears a military helmet, and, you know, and she has to, she's a very hard target. She's heavily tortured. And so, you know, we do what we can, but ultimately, when you start learning the truth of God's principles, there you will see amazing changes. And this does require a great deal of perseverance, okay? And remember, here's what I really want to make this point before I start. Man looks at the outward. God looks at the heart. And what man intends for evil, God ultimately has a higher purpose. And so one of the most important truths he has shown me is that, you know, the enemy wants to kill me, okay? I've had people that don't even know me, don't know that I have been in this program. I've had them tell me prophetically, you know, the Lord showed me that somebody's trying to kill you. And I think, oh, yeah, I know that. And they'll send me, you know, invitations to the funeral home every so often, all these things. And it used to frighten me. But what the Lord showed me, what the Holy Spirit revealed to me is that when you are seeing things from God's perspective, from your Father's perspective, who loves you, he has chosen you, he called you, and you belong to him. And the more you find your belonging in him, the more he allows you to see this from his perspective. And so what he showed me is that, look, everything they do to you, you're going to learn from. So decide, you know, how you're going to handle this, whether or not you're going to trust me. That was the biggest decision initially that I had to make, was whether or not I would trust God to bring me through this to victory. And I can tell you, if you're new to the targeting program, let me please be encouraged to know that God has the solutions to bring you all the way through to victory. He really does. That doesn't mean there won't be times of suffering and, you know, struggle, but God is raising up an army. I will say that. I believe that with all my heart. He is raising up a people that are courageous, fearless, have learned to walk by faith in him, and he literally empowers us in the midst of that to handle things that we would not otherwise have been able to handle. So I've kind of adopted a different frame of mind than what I used to be. I'm, you know, very girly. I like pretty things and flowers and comfort and all that kind of stuff. But now I'll tell you, I was born for war. And we are in a warfare. And the truth is, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, has already won the war. And now our job is to enforce it in our lives, in our everyday lives, with his truth, and we will see the victory. So I'm taking some of my information from a couple of different sources in particular. One of them is Robert Duncan, from a book called How to Tame a Demon. And Robert Duncan he's most known for developing the remote neural monitoring program for the CIA. And he's a highly educated man, and he began to be very convicted when he realized what was being done with the technology that he had taught the government. And anyway, he has since removed himself, and he does, to a degree, he reveals the program and what's going on. Of course, he's limited how much he can say because they sign agreements of non-disclosure. Okay, and the other main source is a website. You might want to get on there and look. It's called Targeted Justice, and it goes into some detail about how these things occur, some of the technology behind it. Okay, so what is a targeted individual? It's someone who has been selected by the deep state. And incidentally, I just want to read. Oh, maybe I don't have that page open, but it was Robert Duncan in his book. He said that the government is a secret crime organization. We don't want to face that. I'm not saying everybody in the government is evil or has evil intention, but those at the top that are running our government have a hidden agenda, okay? And so one of the things they use, I just want to tell you this because I'm looking at it right now. It's called Satan. SATAN. This is an acronym for an above top secret mind control weapon system that's used worldwide for eugenics of so-called dissidents. Okay, so back to a targeted individual, someone who's selected by the deep state, it's usually the FBI, DHS, or CIA, to unwillingly participate in an experimental CIA torture program. This program was developed under CIA's MKUltra project. It's designed to break down the individual and neutralize the person using psychological, physical, and emotional stress. The ultimate goal of this program is to control the entire population through intimidation, fear, and threats. Political activists, labor union leaders, scientists, whistleblowers are some of the main targets of this program. And I want to also add Christians are one of the main targets of this program. Some of them are randomly chosen. You know, sometimes they will choose people that are homeless off the streets. But generally, they really focus on people that are living alone, that don't easily have a way to fight back, maybe don't have a lot of money, and family and spousal relationships are usually destroyed. That's one of the things they really want to target. As that's part of the psychological torture, because they want the targeted person to feel totally and completely alone. Okay, and then it's the FBI and the DHS fusion centers that run the global gang stalking program. And this is oftentimes called contract stalking. Okay, and that's designed to harass, to intimidate, to break down the target. The FBI will outsource much of the local harassment to community groups such as InfraGuard, Citizen Corps, and Neighborhood Watch. Targeted individuals are usually placed on a terrorist watch list, and they're tracked as, quote, non-investigative subjects, so that the local police and ambulances can be instructed not to assist with their emergency calls. You know, sometimes they'll, if they do show up, it'll be hours and hours later. A lot of times targets, when they, if they go to the hospital, they will be left in the emergency area for extended periods of time. They just don't get the care that the average citizen does. And then the CIA and Air Force operate the microwave weapons program through their underground complex at Schriever Air Force Base. That's near Colorado Springs. And so there's different different things they do. Generally, when a person is initially targeted, typically what you will experience is your emails get dropped or your phone calls get dropped a lot. I remember one of the first things I noticed was I'm a prayer person. I love to pray, and I have several people I pray with, and I was on the phone with a woman, a dear sister, and as we were praying, right in the middle of our prayer, someone broke into the conversation and started playing a backwards message. And I thought, wow, what is that? And that happened a few times. That's actually an old intelligence agency trick. It's a mind control technique. And so because I just want to make this clear, the physical torture that a targeted person endures is very real, and it's horrendous. It can be with some people it's not too bad, but with many of us it's very extreme. Pain has been one of the most predominant things they've done with me. I don't have any physical ailments. I hardly ever went to doctors. I still don't go to doctors, but I just trust the Lord with whatever issues I might have at any given time. But they gauge what they're going to do based on the target. So for me, the pain was one of the most striking things they could do, because I just didn't have a history of physical problems. Okay, so, but I what I want to say is, as bad as the physical torture can be, the primary focus of this whole program is psychological. Because, you know, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit when we get to looking at the root, but
you know, if any of you have read in Revelation, it talks about how there will be a time when the Antichrist will arise and there will be a one-world government. And many of you have heard, I'm sure, about the New World Order. And the, you know, Satan has always, he has always wanted control of the earth and control of humanity. And so, I mean, from the garden, that's why I believe he was jealous of Adam and Eve. And I've read the book of Adam and Eve, which is one of the lost books of the Bible. And it talks about how he, in fact, Adam said, "Why are you treating us this way?" And he said, "Because it was because of you that I was cast down to the earth and banished from heaven." And so in the book of Adam and Eve, it says that when they call him Lucifer. That's not really his name. His name is not Lucifer. That means light bringer. That's what the Kabbalists would have you believe, that his name is Lucifer. But when Satan, and I believe he had a Hebrew name, which I don't know what that was, but when he fell, or when he, I'll put it this way, when Adam and Eve were created, because we were made in the likeness and image of God, he was told, and this is according to the book of Adam and Eve, by Michael, who is an archangel, he was told by Michael that he had to worship us. And the word worship by angels, it means to serve. When you see that word worship, it means to serve. And that was God's plan with the angels, that they would serve mankind. And the watchers were sent to the earth because there's good watchers and then there's the evil ones that fell. And the purpose of the watchers was to assist mankind from the beginning of creation, you know, when we were put here. But Satan was jealous, and he said, "I will not serve mankind. I will not." And he rebelled. And so he was literally banished from heaven, from his position as the covering chair. So there's been this ongoing war that Satan has against mankind, because we were created in God's image and likeness. Now, the way this plays out...
Can I say something right here? I've never read that book, but according to the scriptures, Satan wanted to be like God, and he gathered a third of the angels to rebel against God. And in the Bible, it says that God cast him out of heaven because of his pride and his verbalizing that he wanted to be like God. So, if I heard you correctly, say something about he was cast out of heaven because, or he said to Adam that because of you I was cast out of heaven. But that's not why Satan was cast out of heaven, because of Adam.
According to the scriptures,
Adam wasn't even created yet. Satan was out there in the atmosphere way before Adam was created. So I just wanted to clear that up in case there were some Bible scholars listening and was kind of saying, well, I just wanted to say that Julia, as well as I, know that Satan was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like God.
Yeah, that was the primary reason he was cast out of heaven. You're right. It's just that, and it's possible that this book is not accurate, because there's still some speculation about, you know, the lost books of the Bible. But it's just that that was the primary reason, his pride. That's right. He wanted to be like God. And it says he trafficked in heaven in Ezekiel. It says he trafficked the gifts he was given by God. And he did convince a third of the angels to come with him to rebel against God. But he also rebelled against the creation of Adam. And yes, Satan was around long before. And that was part of the struggle, is that he had been around long before Adam and Eve were created. So I apologize if I caused some confusion there. But, okay, so So the thing with the targeting, if we go back to that, it's, you know, the people that you might wonder who can be targeted and how do they choose people. And so we talked about it can be whistleblowers, people who are activists are very commonly chosen because they want to suppress them. They want to silence them. And in some cases, they will put them on a slow kill program. And so, you know, if it's just a matter of the human flesh trying to fight the victim, it's very, very difficult. It's very, you know, because the type of initially what they do is they will terrify or terrorize the person by having extreme physical attacks. You know, like I said, it oftentimes starts with things as simple as phone calls and emails, and then it accelerates. Your car might start breaking down, you know, like frequently. I know that's one of the things I experienced. I was constantly having problems with my car. I would sense or see people when I would go to a store or something. I would see people pull out their phones and seem to follow me, to watch me. And, you know, when you're initially experiencing this, you don't really know what to think. It's overwhelming. Okay, so they do the stalking, and they do the electromagnetic weapons, and microwave weapons are concentrated energy, and they are radio frequency weapons. And because the body is a vibrational body that operates at different frequencies, according to Robert Duncan, and this is old news, I'm sure it's more than this now, but at least 600 frequencies of the body have been mapped. And so they will attack certain parts of your body and certain parts of, and they will attack parts of the brain that have to do with decision making, judgment, emotional. They attack the prefrontal cortex. And so oftentimes a person who's targeted, they're experiencing physical pain, they're experiencing mental brain fog, difficulty concentrating, thinking. And this is a really important fact to know, especially right now in the time we're living in. You can induce a physical symptom of illness with microwave weapons. Okay, and that can be they use satellites, they use drones, they use cell phone towers. And if you think about it, it's very similar to a radio station. I mean, this is, I'm just using a super simplified analogy, but, you know, a radio station has a tower. That tower broadcasts a frequency, you know, and then my clock radio picks it up. Okay, well, we are frequency beings, and many targeted people are chips, or they have nanotechnology put in their food or in their bodies. They can inject it. And it can be done without the person even knowing. Many times they will break into, in fact, it's pretty common that they come into our homes, home invasions, when we sleep, when we're out. So there's a lot of different ways that they can get transmittable devices into a person's body, whether they're ingesting it, or if you go to the doctor, if you just have your blood, have a blood test run, they can put chips in at that time. They can do it through surgeries, through very simple means. They can inject some kind of microchip or, now it's getting more to where they use nanotechnology. And it's being speculated now that they have been using graphene oxide on targeted people, which, you know, has a whole host of horrific things that it can be used for, specifically make it very difficult to breathe. So when you're targeted, you're going through all these things. I know for me, I thought I was going to have a heart attack one night, and that was what alerted me to the reality of this. I started studying and trying to find out. Okay, but what, as I mentioned earlier, the Lord told me, he said, if you will focus on me, I will show you. Because I want to remind everybody that this is Prince of the Power of the Air technology. Okay? And as far as, you know, you might say, well, why would the government do this to people? Well, it goes back to the Illuminati, who are the leader of the Earth's Illuminati is called the Pindar. And I'm taking this from Humans Are Free, and I've actually done some additional studying. I'm going to continue reading about this because I really want to understand. But there are 13 ruling Illuminati families, okay? So the purpose of the Illuminati is to set up a global system of government. So they want world control, world. So what they do is they have a lot of money, of course. These are the wealthiest, and it gets really detailed. I won't go into all the details, but these 13 families, and of which the Pindar is the head, and that Pindar is an abbreviated term for Pinnacle of the Draco. Okay, it says the holder of this rank reports to the purebred reptilian leader in the inner earth. Now that sounds, you may say, oh, that's hard to believe. But there is a whole lot of additional sources that talk about this. Okay, it's believed that the true current Pindar right now is the head of the Rothschild family. And the Roman Catholic Church is involved in this. And these are, what they are is reptilians, okay? And reptilians are from, and this is why I want to say, this all goes back to being biblical. This is a biblical battle we're in, literally. Okay, the reptilians came into being, and I'm going to go to the book of Enoch here for a second. Okay. Now, just to give you an idea, Enoch was, I'll just read a little bit here. It says, this is chapter 1. The words of the blessing of Enoch, wherewith he blessed the elect and righteous, who will be living in the day of tribulation, when all the wicked and godless are to be removed. Okay, and he took up his parable and said, Enoch, a righteous man whose eyes were opened by God, saw the vision of the Holy One in the heavens, which the angels showed me, and from them I heard everything. And from them I understood as I saw, but not for this generation. So it wasn't for Enoch's generation, but for a remote one which is to come. Concerning the elect, I said, and took up my parable concerning them, the Holy One will come forth from his dwelling. Okay, and then it goes on. So the book of Enoch was primarily for the generation, I believe, anyway, that we're living in right now. Okay, so then as we go down, this section here deals with the fall of the angels, the demoralization of mankind, the intercession of the angels on behalf of mankind, the dooms pronounced by God on the angels, the messianic kingdom. Okay, so it says, and it came to pass when the children of men had multiplied. Okay, so, you know, we have the creation of Adam and Eve, the fall of man. And as the earth began to fill, the children of men multiplied in those days, were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters. And the angels, the children of the heavens, saw and lusted after them and said to one another, come, let us choose wives from among the children of men and beget us children. And Semjaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear you will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And they all answered him and said, let us all swear an oath and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations not to abandon this plan but to do this thing. So these fallen angels, it says, they swore all together and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And they were in all 200 who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual agreement upon it. And then it goes into the names of these different, the chiefs of the heads of the 200 fallen angels. And it says, and all the others together with them took unto themselves wives, each chose for himself one, and they began to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms and enchantments, the cutting of roots, made them acquainted with plants. And they became pregnant, and they bore great giants whose height was 300 ells. I'm not sure how much, not sure what that is, but who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. Okay, here's a key. And they began to sin against the birds. This is talking about the fallen angels and beasts and reptiles and fish, and to devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. And Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates, and made known to them the metals of the earth, the art of working them, bracelets and ornaments, and the use of antimony, beautifying of the eyelids, and all kinds of costly stones and coloring tinctures. And there arose much godlessness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. Senjaza taught enchantments and root cuttings. And then it goes on. Eskel, the knowledge of the clouds. Barakel taught astrology. Kokabel, the constellations. Another one, the signs of the earth. Shemziel, the signs of the sun. And it said, and as men perished, they cried, and their cry went up to heaven. And it says, and then Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel looked down from heaven and saw much blood being shed upon the earth, and all the lawlessness being wrought upon the earth. And they said to one another, the earth made without inhabitants cries, the voice of their crying is going up to the gates of heaven. And now to you, the holy ones of heaven, the souls of men make their suit, saying, bring our cause before the Most High. So they were crying out to God to deliver them. And let's see, and they've gone to the daughters of men upon the earth, have slept with the woman, and have defiled themselves and revealed to them all kinds of sins. And the women have borne giants, and the earth is thereby filled with blood and unrighteousness. So I want to make this point, okay, blood is very important to the fallen angels, and those, and the Bible calls them Nephilim. And so a Nephilim is the offspring of the fallen angels having mated with women. Okay, and now, you know, we know that Noah was, the reason for the flood was because all of mankind had become corrupt and they were being destroyed by these giants. Okay, but there was still, they resurfaced again, the Nephilim did. And, but what happened is, I'm trying to find, okay, so it says, the Lord said to Michael, go bind Senjaza, because remember, he was the head of these fallen angels that had mated with the women. Bind Senjaza and his associates who have united themselves with women so as to have defiled themselves in all their uncleanness. And when their sons have slain one another, they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones, bind them fast for 70 generations in the valleys of the earth till the day of their judgment and of their consummation. So the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated. And it says, in those days they shall be led off to the abyss of fire and to the torment and the prison in which they shall be confined forever. And whosoever shall be condemned and destroyed will from thenceforth be bound together with them to the ends of all generations. Okay, so so when they were, you know, when they were bound, they were actually put under the earth. And so this whole thing of the Illuminati that want, pardon me, world domination, their leader is, it says here that he answers to, it says that the holder of the rank of Pindar reports to the purebred reptilian leader in the inner earth. So, you know, you can see a connection here. So here's the thing. In order to obtain world domination and the global order that they want to bring forth, there must be, and this is a very premier part of the agenda of the Illuminati is mind control. They must have the masses in agreement, sort of like the Tower of Babel, when, you know, all the, under Nimrod, everyone said, well, let's build a stairway to heaven. And God himself, God said this, there's nothing they can't do if their minds are in agreement. That's a, not exact words, but a paraphrase. And, of course, they wanted to, it was ridiculous, they wanted to ascend to the throne, you know, because Satan, like Linda said, he wants the throne of God ultimately. So God destroyed them, he divided the languages. And so we are in a modern day time with the use of AI and all this technology, mind control technology, that we could actually, I mean, the devil believes he could actually control the world to think just like he wants them to, that all these people could be programmed. And see, targeted people, we tend to stand out. And according to Robert Duncan, there are algorithms and means by which they find out those who are not easily swayed by the common thinking. You know, the people that search the truth out, people that are critical thinkers, people who, you know, don't just believe everything they're told, and people who are strong individually in their morals, their beliefs. And you see, this type of person is the premier enemy to the New World Order, because they must have sheeple-type people in order for their agenda to succeed. Okay, so this is where the wisdom of the Lord has to come in, because when you're under attack, there are opportunities to feel like you cannot fight this, you cannot do it. But what God wants us to know, and I just want to take everybody to Colossians 2:15. This is my all-time, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, and having stripped the principalities of their dominion, this is kind of an amplified version of that scripture. What it says is having spoiled the principalities. But if you look up the individual words in a study of the Greek, it says, and having stripped the principalities of their dominion, he made a public show, meaning Yeshua made a public show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. So when he died as a sinless, spotless lamb, the final sacrifice, and I believe it says he didn't first ascend, but that he first descended. So it's just my personal belief that it was after he died that he stripped the devil and all of his principalities of their dominion over us. And also in Luke 10:19 it says, behold, I give unto you. Oops. Okay, I'll be wrapping this up quick. Oops. There we go.
Yeah, 1 minute.
He said, behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you see, when we connect with Jesus Christ and we draw near to him and we come close to him, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. So as we develop our relationship, and especially coming before the Lord in love, in Psalm 91 it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. So the more you draw near to the Father, the more you spend time with him, like Linda said, get your mind renewed to God's truth, that the greater one lives in us. And he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So he was saying, look, you've got heavy-duty, demonic, even reptilian powers, which are Nephilim, and demonic principalities against you, but I've overcome them. And so when he said we would tread on serpents and scorpions, that means to advance upon, that means to be successful over. But what I've found is that this takes some study. And so the more time, and I say especially in love relationship and communion, I know we're going to take communion, but I'm talking about the kind of communion where you spend time with the Father and you read through that word and you begin to know your true identity, because you are an ambassador. The Bible calls us kings and priests. He is Jesus. Yeshua is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's talking about us. And we are called to rule and reign in this life according to Romans 5:17. And so he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment against you, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So I know I need to wrap this up, and I just want to encourage everyone. that as you draw near, this has been to me the secret of overcoming. And I have very little happening now. I mean, I'm not saying they're not gone. And I'm still under all the surveillance. We're talking 24/7. And there are, you know, harassments, sexual harassments every once in a while. But it's like 90% less of what it was in the past. So, and what I attribute that to is I've learned how to take authority. The Bible says we have warring hosts that fight for us. They're called the chariots of fire. And you can look that up in the Old Testament. It was Elisha that said, Father, show my servant that there are more that are with us. See, God gives us angels to fight for us. And so if I'm under attack, there are times when I say, Father, I ask you to send out the warring angels to fight for me, the chariots of fire. And they do.
Yes.
And so, And so Psalm 18 is a wonderful psalm to read because it talks about God's directed energy. He has hailstones, cold of fire, and fiery arrows. So anyway, I thank you, Linda, for having me on, and I just want to encourage everyone. The key is developing an intimate, close relationship with the Father, because that's where you begin to get your confidence built, and you realize that if He's for me, who can be against me? You know, the greater one lives in us. Okay, so thank you so much for having me on.
Well, we're not finished with you. I need to divinely intervene right now because Bishop Wright, I forgot he has to go to work. So at this point in the podcast, we are going to I'm going to give the mic to Bishop Wright, and you can get your elements and bring them to the wherever you're listening, on the radio or on the phone. Because Bishop Wright is going to come and tell us about the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how to examine ourselves and lead you to Christ if you don't have a personal relationship, if you've never given your life to Him. So Bishop Wright, your mic is open. It's all yours, sir.
There you go. Hi.
Hello.
How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Praise God. Okay. I want to thank you, Evangelist Linda, for allowing me to participate in this podcast. And excuse me for being out of breath. I just ran downstairs. I'm not as young as I used to be. So forgive me for that. And I thank you and the Gatekeepers Ministry for just allowing me to be a participant in this and what God is doing at this time. I want to start off with a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. And it says, the cup of blessings that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And before I get started, I'd like to reiterate that the actual taking of communion tonight is comprised of two parts. I'm starting with prayer, explaining the bread afterwards, and offering salvation. I will hand over the second part back
Bishop
to
Wright, are you on a Bluetooth or a speaker?
Hold on, I'm on speakerphone, but let me take it off of there.
Yeah, it's making a lot of noise.
Okay, can you hear me better?
When you talk, there's a lot of interference. Say
it's
something.
Still interference?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. So are you on a landline or a cell phone?
Pardon me?
Are you on a landline phone or a cell phone?
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay, well, that's fine. Do you usually have interference where your cell phone is? Because every time you say something, there's static. Only when you talk.
Only when I talk. Okay.
Okay, now that's a little better.
That's a little better?
Oh, that's 100%. Okay. That's 100% better.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. So let me conclude. Let me continue. So I will be handing it off at when I'm finished. Like, again, as I have said, it's going to be in two parts. So let me pray first for the blessing of the communion and for the element. Thank you, Father, that we have been promised, God, that you will hear our prayers and petitions, Father, and that you have given us, God, clear passage to come into your throne room because of what was accomplished at the cross. God, we thank you for continuing to nourish us with your body and the blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ and Lord. O Hashem, the maker of heaven and earth, I ask for your blessings and favor tonight to touch and quicken everyone who is ministering and all those who are participating in this podcast today. God, place your seal on every mouth, ear, eye, and heart for your anointing and Shekinah glory. Help them to see with the eyes of their hearts. And Father, bind everything that is not of you and decree peace in our efforts. Father, sanctify, consecrate, and declare holy the elements prepared for the partaking of the bread and wine, which are the two beautiful symbols of Christ's broken body for us and his precious blood shed for us. Jesus, when the time comes to partake of the bread and wine, we come in meekness of heart and humility of spirit, knowing that no one can approach God in their own righteousness. But it is only because of his great goodness and gracious mercy in sending you, his only begotten Son, to die on the cross in our place and to pay the price for us. Now, Father, thank you that you are a tender-hearted God and that your nature is always to show mercy to those who are justly deserving of your wrath and punishment. And as we partake of the symbols of bread and wine, we eat and drink in remembrance of him who died for us and rose again, knowing that he has become to us both our meat and our drink. Help us to live in newness of life and to walk worthy before you all the days of our life. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in closing, there's another scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, that will lead me to explain something about the bread. And it says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we are partake of one bread. For we all partake of one bread. Right now, we find it appropriate to share a scripture about the bread of life we eat. And it comes from the book of John, chapter 6. We see Jesus addressing a crowd of people looking to him for signs and more miracles. They remind the Lord that God performed a miracle for 40 years and fed them each day with manna, a sweet bread that came down from heaven. However, Jesus reveals the most basic, fundamental truth in obtaining the gift of eternal life in John chapter 6, verse 47 to 51 and verse 58. For in this scripture, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then in verse 58, it says, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Beloved, if there is anything as you listen to this specific explanation of the bread, if there is anything in the history of human religion telling us something, it is that people seek to earn their way into heaven. This is such a basic human desire because God created us with eternity in mind. Scripture says that God has placed this desire for eternity in our hearts. The Bible also tells us that there is nothing we can do to earn our way into heaven. It is because we have all sinned, and the only thing our sin earns us is death. For the wages of sin is death. For there is not one who is righteous in himself. Our dilemma is if we have a desire we cannot fulfill, no matter what we do. That is our dilemma. That is where Jesus comes into our life. He and he alone can fulfill that desire in our hearts for righteousness. This is accomplished only through the divine transaction that happened at the cross. For the word of God says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. When Christ died on the cross, he took the sins of mankind upon himself and made atonement for them. In the Old Testament, 700 years before the birth of Christ, this was prophesied in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5, saying, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Beloved, when we place our faith in him, our sins are assigned to Jesus and his righteousness assigned to us. It is the Lord Jesus who satisfies our hungers and thirst for righteousness. He is our bread of life. This is what Jesus is speaking about concerning himself with the saying in John chapter 6. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. At this time, I would offer those who are not saved to think about accepting Jesus as their Lord and be reminded to tell you about Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10, which says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Now I'm going to say a prayer for those that are listening that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this prayer would open your heart, and you would ask if your heart is open for Jesus to come in. Lord, I pray for anyone who is listening right now who have not accepted you into their hearts. Father, I decree you will touch them and open their heart to receive Jesus and make the Lord real to them. Father, quicken every person who has not accepted the pardoning of their sins to confess and receive forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Bishop. Right. And I'm sorry I forgot about you having to go to work tonight, but thank you. Blessed opening of the service. And I trust and believe, God, that those that were willing to receive Christ in their life right now before we take communion, that the Lord just anoints you afresh right now and let you know that he knows what you're going through and that only he can bring you through this time in your life. Bishop Bronson, your mic is open, sir.
Praise God. Glory to God. God bless you this evening. Evangelist Sear, we honor the Lord and we thank him for his grace and for his peace, his love, for his abundant mercy and for the provisions that God has already made. I'll be very brief in expounding on the blood, glory to God, because we're going into a time where the world is closing out. This is the final time. And the people of God, we're facing a lot of things, and there are going to be yet a lot of things to face, because when we look into the book of Revelation, there are so many events that shall unfold. But I give God glory and honor tonight because we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Before the beginning of time, God chose the element of blood, glory to God, to be the substance that makes man one with God again. He knew what Adam was going to do. He knew the intensity, and he knew all of the drives that were in the heart of man, glory to God. So before that happened, God provided for himself a sacrifice. The scripture even tells us that sacrifices and offerings the Lord desire not, but a body did he prepare to offer up for the sins of the world. I'm going to give you the scriptures. I won't expound on them, but if you would come back to the podcast, back to Evangelist On Demand, and get these scriptures, you can further glean from them and be more fruitful in the Word of God. In the garden, the reference would be Genesis 3:21. In heaven, before time began, will be Revelation 5:1-7. The first Passover would be Exodus 12:13. And the Last Supper, Matthew 26:26-29. I believe that I'm going to read Matthew as we prepare our hearts, because this will be the scriptures referring to the Last Supper. In referring to what took place in the beginning in the book of Revelation, John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, glory be to God. And he was there to write the things that Jesus was giving him to write concerning things that had to come to pass, that was, is, and is to come. So John, in his writing, his spirit was open as Jesus began to give him what to write, and the humanity part of him began to weep and cry because he could not see salvation for man. He could not see a positive close to the race of man. And one of the elders, one of the four of the 20 who was there, told him, he said, "Weep not, John, for the lion of the tribe of Judah have prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals and to look thereupon." Glory to God. The situation was a great angel was there, and he was standing before the throne where God was seated with a book in his hand that was sealed within and without, and no man in heaven and earth or under the earth was found worthy to open the book or to loose the seals thereof. And the scripture tells us, "There appeared a little lamb in heaven, as it had been slain from the foundations of the world. He was dripping with blood, as he had been slain, as he had been killed." And blood was the element that God was going to use to redeem mankind. Everything in the Old Testament, even though it is before the New Testament, reflected to the New Testament, because the old was a symbol and the new was the real thing. Everything in the New Testament reflect back to eternity. Even Jesus dying on the cross reflect back to eternity before time began, because it was the plan of God to redeem mankind. It was the plan of God to use the element of blood, glory, hallelujah, to be the token, greatest covenant, the new covenant, the old being reflected. But it came full circle in the New Testament when Jesus died on Calvary. That little lamb that came from under the altar, the lion of the tribe of Judah, who was slain from the foundations of the world, he came full circle on Calvary when Jesus said, "It is finished," and he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. And he gave up the ghost, glory be to God. And he began to make his journey into the antediluvian spiritual world to go and to preach unto the souls in captivity. It was brought into full revelational circle when Jesus ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father, because Mary couldn't touch him because he had not taken the body of the lamb and offer it up to the Father. Glory to God. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Bible tells us that the blood is the token of the new covenant. It is just like the ring that goes on the finger when two are married. Glory to God. It is the token of the covenant between God and man. And we thank God for Bishop praying, and we're going to prepare our hearts to bless this broken body. We're going to ask you if you would get yours, and as we prepare to bless the fruit of the vine, glory be to God, that a spiritual transformation would take place right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Even in the first Passover, the Lord told Israel that the destroyer was coming. And I want you to know that in the life that we live today, the destroyer is coming. Glory to God. But he told the children of Israel as he prepared to bring them out of Egypt, and as God is preparing to rapture us and to take us out of this world, he told them to put blood over the doorposts and to put blood on the lintels. And he said that the destroyer is coming, glory to God. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. As Bishop made the invitation that you would receive Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart, and invite his Holy Spirit. For thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The blood shall be applied to your doorpost and to the lintel. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open up the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The door is your heart. You have the power and the ability by making a conscious decision to receive Jesus Christ into your life. For he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. The cup, let us bless the bread. Father, we bless this unleavened bread in the name of Jesus as it is broken as a symbol upon earth in time as the body of Jesus Christ, that your eternal blessings will be upon it. Glory to God. For you said, if we eat not your body and drink not of your blood, we have no part with you. And we thank you tonight that we're taking part of the broken body that shedded the blood. In Jesus' name, we bless it. Take and eat in Jesus' name. Savor the body. Savor the body. Savor, savor, savor the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Lift your cup. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up the cup and we bless it right now in Jesus' name, that a spiritual transformation would take place, even though it is symbol. For you said, for as often as we do this, we do show forth your death until you come. We bless the cup, Father, and the fruit of the vine in the name of Jesus, and we receive it and we drink all of it in your precious name. For the blood is the token of the covenant. It is as the ring that is placed upon the finger of those that are wed. For we are in covenant. We are one with Jesus Christ. Take. One with God through Jesus Christ. Take and drink all of it in Jesus' name. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
For ye are all, for ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. For the remission of sin, for the removal of sin, that is remission, for the washing, for the cleansing, for the taking away. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. If you would, just for a brief moment, just lift your hands and wave them before the presence of God and worship in a sign of surrender. Perhaps you just received Jesus into your heart. The angels of God rejoice over one repentant sinner that glory to God, received the Lord. Just wave your hands before him in a sign of surrender. Glory to God. And you that have already received Jesus Christ, wave them in worship. You that, hallelujah, that have been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just begin to worship and give God the glory. For the Holy Spirit is falling right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus by the power of God's Holy Spirit. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And just for a brief moment, let us just give him glory in our heavenly language. Come on, if you're seeking the baptism, come on, just release your tongue and give worship and glory and praise to God. The Holy Ghost is falling right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. Glory to God. Fear, I release it to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. Hallelujah.
Lord,
thank you.
Lord.
Appreciate praise you. God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now that we have completed this sacred part of tonight's ministry, hallelujah. I didn't mean to interfere with Dr. Millicent going after Minister Julia, but I got a text message that Dr. Wright, which reminded me about Bishop Wright. So, Dr. Millicent, take your time. You can take your time, and now that we've gotten Holy Communion in and a special part of tonight's broadcast, your mic is open. It's all yours. God bless you.
God bless you, Evangelist Linda, and good evening to everyone who is with us tonight. I am just going to kind of expand in a different direction tonight. I got a text message from Evangelist Linda asking that I talk from a point of victory tonight. So it's important that each of you understand that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is oh so true. We are cast down, but we are not forsaken. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I wanted to be able to give it to you correctly, and so I'm turning there. At verse 8, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I discovered that a blinded mind is a hypnotized mind. In 2005, I met a scientist who worked for one of the major Department of Defense contractors, and she was also at that time the vice president of the United States Psychotronics Association. She explained to me that the word psychotronics mean using electronics on the mind. Using electronics on the mind. I later found out that as far back as 1974, there was technology that allowed military-trained men to send hypnotic suggestions to the mind of an unsuspecting person. And I'm sure that 1974 was probably just when they told about it. It started much, much earlier. So that important scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:4, 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. God is not hiding the gospel. God does not hide the truth about the good news of Jesus Christ. God does not hide the truth about the power of the blood or the power in the blood or the power that transfers to those of us who accept Jesus Christ and his shed blood on Calvary. But it says the God of this world blinds the mind because it's the mind that has the capacity to see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Who is the image of God? The mind. With the mind, we are able to conceive and understand. It is through the mind that wisdom comes. And the enemy does not want the world to understand Jesus. I'm actually studying this week and have started several weeks ago studying about the mystery that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when he said if they had known what they were doing, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known that Jesus was only going to be gone for a few days and that he really was going to come back again, they would not have crucified him. If they'd known that Jesus' death was going to mean burial and resurrection and ascension was going to mean that he was going to leave the Holy Spirit in each of us, and now there's a part of Jesus in each one of us, and that gives victory to all of us, just like Jesus achieved for us, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. If the God of this world had known that hanging a man on the tree who was born through the normal channels of a woman's womb, who had blood in his veins and grew bones and grew in stature and in size and grew in wisdom and in knowledge and in understanding, and if just by him dying on a cross and going into a tomb and arising and going into heaven was going to transfer that knowledge and that wisdom and that understanding to all mankind who believed on him, he would have never crucified the Son of Glory. If the enemy, the God of this world, had known that all of his conniving and the tricks and the traps and the snares and the ditches and the pitfalls that he dug for us to make mankind sin against God so that Satan himself could have who God had ordained for himself. If the God of this age had known that Jesus is hanging on the cross, shedding his blood, giving up the ghost, going into the tomb, into the grave, being resurrected and ascending into heaven, was going to mean that everyone who believed, all of the whosoever, would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the reality of his sacrifice, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, was going to allow them to slip through his hand. He would have never crucified the Son of Glory. Talk about a mystery. Talk about power. And I won't go back over what the bishops have gone through and what Minister Julia have gone through, but I'm coming from a point of victory tonight. And we can have victory in the knowledge that if the God of this world had understood what a cross was going to mean to the world, he would have never hung the Lord of glory.
on that cross. He would have never allowed him to lose blood that dropped down to the earth that was covering the world. He would have never allowed him to go into a tomb. And even though the guards, they set guards outside of the tomb so that no one would be able to steal the body of Jesus Christ, guess what? God never took his eyes off of him. He always knew where he was. He knew that victory was already his. And the Son of Glory now lives in the heart of men and in the minds of men, because we can now say what Paul said at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have the mind of Christ. Is it any wonder that the God of this world wants to hypnotize our minds? He wants to take over our minds. I have read a book that was entitled Controlling the Human Mind by Dr. Nick Begich, and Dr. Begich talks about all of the many parts of our body that the mind controls. I actually have a diagram that shows every single part, from the tongue to the teeth to the arms and the legs, that the mind, touching a specific area of the brain, can control. 12 areas of the brain can control the whole body. So how do we survive and how do we thrive? And this is, again, using electronics on the mind. But unfortunately, they also use electronics on our body. And some of those symptoms are producing themselves for many of us as the inability to control certain actions, certain movements. They show up the control of our body functions. They show up as abnormal bleeding and abnormal bruising and sometimes bone injuries and organ injuries. And those same weapons that can be used to send energy to our brain is also being used to send energy to our body. There are laser weapons that are used. There are different kind. Every radiation on the spectrum, from X-ray to gamma rays and all across the spectrum, are being used on us to cause injury and death. So how do we survive? Many of you already know about the many different kinds of what's called shielding tools, shielding materials, and I won't go into that tonight. You can get that on some of the other targeted individual or triumphant individual podcasts where you can call in and you can share with others about what you're going through. But I'm going to talk to survival from a spiritual standpoint, because that's how I have survived. In spite of all of the horrible things that have been done to my body and my brain, I have known victory over this darkness only because of what Jesus did for me at Calvary. The first thing and the most important thing has been for me prayer. I believe God allowed me to pray through a ton of what I've been living through these last 25 years, some 7-8 years before the torture started. And that was through prayer, praying in tongues, praying in my native language, and communion. One of my mother in the gospel told me when she knew what was happening to me, and nobody could tell me, y'all. They'd all been warned, as you all have, that it's an investigation, and if anybody tell me what's going on, that they would be themselves accused of crime, of interfering in an investigation, and they themselves could be arrested. When in reality, the investigation was going to be continued until I was dead, and for you as well, as far as that's concerned. But in 2011, I met a person who worked for the Census Bureau. He was a federal investigator,
And he said to me, it's not a real investigation. If it was, I would have been through in 3 days. I then later met a police officer from another county in this state in Tennessee, and he said the same thing. He said, I would have been through in 3 days. So that federal investigator said to me, it's a fraudulent investigation, and so have many others since then. I believe favor came as a result of my time in prayer and my time in communion with God. My mother in the gospel said to me, when you find yourself in an impossible situation, she suggested communion every single day. And every single evening I found myself sitting on my floor with my Bible and prayer book open, and I was getting strengthened by God. And the high-tech torture had not even started. The high-tech torture was going to be 6 years later starting. But I was already praying and seeking God and gaining strength from the elements of communion. Now, I found and had to be reminded a lot of what is happening to us, as Mr. Junior has already indicated, is witchcraft. Anytime someone is using elements from the adversary against the human body and especially against the Christian, it's a craft of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we can be assured that there's some witchcraft going on. One specific group has been named as being part of it, if not a large part responsible for it, and that's the Freemasons and their allegiance to Satan, which many of them may not learn is the case until they've made themselves or worked themselves up to a 33rd degree. And I understand that to get a 33rd degree, you have to kill somebody. So whether or not all of that is true, what we do know is that those who use and align themselves with and study and use the powers of the devil, the one against whom our battle is waged, those who are using the tools and crafts of the enemy are using our energy in multiple ways by the implantation of microchips into various organs, muscles, even bone and blood in our bodies, as well as our brain. They're able to direct energy to those spots, and those energies are found, as I've already said, on any end of the spectrum, from X-ray to gamma rays to ultrasound, radiation is used. And it is able to exacerbate energy in areas that is designed to destroy tissue and to destroy organs, to cause cancer, and that can cause death. But in our prayer time, we do know that the Word of God says that we can take authority over those things that I consider them to be curses that are sent out against us. We can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Isaiah 54:17 reminds us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we shall prove to be in the wrong. The last part is the best part. This is the heritage of a servant of the Lord, and our righteousness is of him. That important word, righteousness, being of him, is such value to us because we are scandalized, slanderized, characters assassinated, and so much so that one of my seminary cohorts wrote me an email once, and he said, how does it feel to be in the walking death? What they're doing to us, they're calling a walking death. They don't want us dead. They want us to feel like we're dead, to feel like life is lost. They want us to, that everything we reach for would not work. And yet God said in Isaiah 40:39, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I learned that waiting on the Lord was continuing to know what you know to do while God does what only he can do. And then over in Romans chapter 11, it tells us that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He does not change his mind. What that means is whatever God has called you to, no matter what obstacle the enemy sends your way, he expects us to stay on the job. You know, when we are working on a job where we are receiving a paycheck in our hands or in our bank accounts or by mail, what's right? We go to work when it's raining. We go when it's snowing. We go when it's hailing. We go when there's a tornado warning out. I did one time. Ended up hiding under the table, but I went to work. Many times we go when we're sick. It's not unusual that we would try and hurry any healing when surgery is necessary so that we can get back to that job. And so what would make it easy for us to stay off the job that God has assigned for us? But I will tell you what I have found from example. It's when we continue to walk in the way that God has called us to, God continues to bless. God continues to open doors. God continues to make ways. God continues to raise us up. When man slaps us down and says, this is for the last time, God says not so. If we're not finished with the assignment, we can't leave the earth. Isaiah 55 says that the word of God can't go home empty-handed. Now, we have the word hiding on the inside of us. God said it. He told Jeremiah that I'm writing it on you. I just got a text message that said I'm muted. Can you all hear me?
Go ahead.
Can anyone? Isaiah 55:11 tells us that the word can't go home empty-handed. It must accomplish what God pleases and prosper in the thing whereunto he has sent it. Well, he sent the word to us. He told Jeremiah, I'm going to write it on their hearts and on their minds. No one has to teach it to them ever again. And that word in us still has to work. It has to accomplish what God intended for it to accomplish. Oh, some of the listeners got cut off who are online with that 8 o'clock curfew.
It still has to prosper. Because, because I forgot to announce that if you're streaming, you have to call in before 9 o'clock. I'm sorry.
Thank
Go
you.
Ahead.
Thank you. It has to prosper in us. It has to help us to accomplish the will of God in the earth, because God put whatever word he put in us, it was put there for a purpose. A harvest was expected. God has a demand on his word in us, and we have to continue to work. Jesus said, I'm going to work while it's day, because the night cometh when no man can work. Our day, even though they are hindered and hampered, even though we are bruised and battered, we are still supposed to be working the works that God has sent us here to accomplish. I pray Psalm 91. At one point when I was working in a public job, I prayed Psalm 91 every single day. I did not go onto that campus without having prayed Psalm 91. And I didn't just pray it for me. I prayed it for others as well. One of the important things that I want to
remind each of us is to don't study evil. We don't want to study how they do what they do. And I'm talking about if we don't look into what witchcraft does and how they do it, I don't care how they do it. What we know is God said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. God says, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word of God says, with our eyes we shall see the reward of the wicked. So we don't study the evil. In working in a bank, the tellers are not taught how to, they're not taught to study a counterfeit. They're taught to study the real. The idea being, it when you know what the real looks like, you can't be fooled by the counterfeit. Hence, I can't encourage you enough to study the Bible, study the Word of God, get to know what God says in His Word, who God is in His character, how God speaks to His people. When you know God, you can't be fooled by the counterfeit, by the false, the fake, and the phony. Study being an overcomer. Read about those in the Bible who overcame those unusual and sometimes horrifying obstacles. Read about the life of Noah and what he went through being made fun of and called. They didn't have the word schizophrenic and paranoid and obsessive compulsive and those kind of words when Noah was getting the instructions from God on how to build the ark. It didn't matter that they had had no rain. What mattered is that God was giving instruction, and Noah's commitment was to be obedient. We have to study the overcomers. And because Noah was obedient, when the rain came, he and his family were saved. When all of the world was destroyed, we have to study what it was like to be an Elijah and an Elisha during the time of an Ahab and a Jezebel, knowing that in spite of what they went through, look at all the miracles God allowed them to produce while they were going through. Remember, somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching how you're standing. Somebody's watching how you're speaking and how you're living during this time. There are those who are forced to live without, and it hurts my heart. So those who the perpetrators decided would not be allowed to live in a house, and so they're living in the car, and they're living in their van, and some are having to sleep in cardboard boxes and under bridges and in the woods. One lady that I talked to personally, she was family who would let her live with them, but the perpetrators would not let her live in a house. She would have to drive her car to her storage unit at night and sleep in her car. Ridiculous. This is the United States of America in the 21st century, not Nazi Germany, they say. But where we are, what God calls us to is compassion. God calls us to remember how he took care of us and what he did when he sent us those miracle people that came. One time I had went to the mailbox and found an envelope, and in the envelope was three $100 bills. At that point, my dad had been dead probably near a year, because the perpetrators like to get you dependent on sometimes family members and their income, and then they'll take them away from you through death, and there you are with nothing. When I called the lady, she didn't write her name on the envelope, but I recognized the address. I called her to say thank you, and she said, well, all I know is this lady was here, and she was talking about you and how you didn't have this and how you didn't have that. And she said, I looked at her and said, well, why don't you help her? And then she helped me.
Yeah.
This is the love of God working in the heart of people. The ones we least expect will help.
Yeah.
This is what we're learning in Refuge from the Storm Church. I'll just throw that in there now. While we're talking, God led me one of the ways in which he allowed me to continue to walk in the word to work in me was to lead me to seminary. In 2012, I started seminary at the age of 59 years old, y'all. I didn't have seminary on my agenda. It wasn't in my itinerary. It wasn't anything I ever thought to do. In fact, I was raised in the Baptist church where they called the seminary the cemetery. And so that wasn't a place that I was ascribing to go, but I went, and I got to be closer to God, and I learned more about how to rightly divide the word and how to shepherd the people of God. Once I finished the doctorate degree, I turned around and began to work on a second master's, and it was Arts and Christian Ministries. Imagine needing to learn how to be a Christian, but we do. And so part of my we had to do 300 hours of what they called field experience, and I asked if I could start a church. I needed to start a church for targeted individuals. I wanted to do my dissertation on being targeted, but my mentors would not let me. They thought it wasn't good to go that route. So instead, we worked on educating the church on how to empower women who suffer in silence from domestic abuse. And the subtitle was From Victim to Voice, Recovered and Restored. Well, that's the end result. That's the end desire. That's God's intended place for us, is recovery and being restored. In fact, he's promised that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony about what the Lamb has done. And so I'm standing and sharing with you tonight because of what the Lamb has done. Because when man said, you're going to be walking dead, I said, not so. I live by the living God who I serve. I don't serve death. I serve the living who lives in me. Oh, goodness. So at Refuge from the Storm Church, which God allowed us to form, we are in our sixth year now, we are learning to share. We're learning that what God has given to us is to help one another. We're learning the word of God and the power of the word that's at work in us. It's in there. We just have to learn that it's there and learn how to release it and how to allow the Holy Spirit to help us through the wisdom and the knowledge to use it for the glory of God. And that includes helping one another. I learned overcoming meant doing life God's way, observing the ordinances of the church is very important, along with prayer. Putting God first is the most important. One of my grandmother's favorite scriptures, and she said it at every meal, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So whatever we're lacking, we still have to seek God for it. But the important thing is seeking God just for God, just because he's God. Whenever anyone challenges you about whether or not there is a God, you can say to them, you may not want to believe this, but the sun, God hung it in the sky. And tonight when the sun goes down, the moon comes up, God tells the sun where to hide till morning. And he calls the stars to come help the moon to light the way. God does that. Have you heard of a man that has taken credit for that? I love to use that as my defense. There is a God. And God said to Jeremiah, that's my covenant. That's when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, you see a sign of my covenant with them. And if I can't forget my covenant with them, I cannot forget my covenant with you. So that's also my sign that God is remembering me. God's remembering each of you. When you can get up and see the sunshine or look out your window at night and see the stars and the moon, God is still in covenant with his people. We pray for wisdom, knowledge, and remembering that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We remember that a merry heart does good like medicine. So my medicine is the gospel music and preaching, which I love. I keep that going in my ears throughout the day. I do want to share with you all my mom's last month here on earth, and she moved to heaven just 2 weeks ago. But her last 2-3 months was sitting in front of my brother's television screen. He got a smart TV, and I thought they were of no benefit. But one day I was reminded that I could get YouTube on the television. And with YouTube, I could find the gospel legends, all those good old singers, Shirley Caesar and the Caravans and Reverend, I can't call his name, that sang Peace Be Still, and Andre Crouch and the Edwin Hawkins, all of those, singing those old songs of Zion, the ones that our grandparents sang. And that brought them through probably some that were first begun in the slave field, the cotton field, when the slaves could not talk to one another, but they could hum a song or sing a song. And I would sit my mother on my brother's sofa and raise her feet up and put that good gospel music on. Y'all, her spirit responded to it every single time. My mom, who was at, by then, end-stage dementia, I did not want to accept that that's what it was. She never forgot the gospel. She never forgot the songs of Zion. She never forgot the scripture. If you started a scripture, she could finish it. If you started preaching or she heard preaching, she knew exactly where to join in. It wasn't my mom. God said he was going to write his word on our minds and on our hearts. Let me tell you, he never took it back. He never took it back, no matter what my mother forgot. And some days I could walk in and I'd say, Mother, what's my name? She'd say, I don't know. Half the time I don't know my name. But she never forgot who God was. She never forgot the scripture, and she never forgot that the song led her into his presence. That's our hope. That the glory of God, the very presence of God himself, never leaves us. He is always there. Had the God of this age known what he was doing when he crucified the Lord of glory, he would have never done it. Because Jesus was able to transfer the Holy Spirit, who was the power source of the Trinity himself, and he lives in us. And until God calls us home, the Holy Spirit is on his job, reminding us of whatever God has said, whatever Jesus has said. And Jesus said, I only say what I heard my Father say. I hope you've been encouraged this evening that there is some victory to be had, even in suffering. In fact, it's a part of suffering. Paul said at one place that I might know him, in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Y'all, there is no resurrection without suffering. If you don't believe it, look at the cross. Look at Jesus hanging on the cross and be reminded of what it must have felt like with nails in your hands and feet and thorns sticking in your brow. Think about what it must have felt like to hang there from hour to hour to hour until God said first, it's finished. And Jesus agreed and gave up the ghost. Had he known what he was doing, the God of this age, of this world, would have never crucified the Son of Glory, because he was our passageway, not just into eternal life on the other side, but that we can have eternal life living and working in us right now. God bless each of you. I pray that you don't give up. We are not the walking dead. We serve the living God, and he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Mm. Powerful. I do apologize that I did not announce for those to call in before 9 o'clock that were streaming in. I'm so sorry. That's why all of a sudden they couldn't hear you. I just thank God for both of you and Bishop Wright and Bishop Bronson. What a powerful, powerful broadcast on this topic, and what a rewarding ministry that has taken place tonight to put the devil to shame, that every target, every person targeting an individual, that they would come to know the Savior. Clearly, they have heard about the resurrection God that we serve, the resurrected God, and his body broken for them, and his blood shed for them for the remission of what they're doing. Hallelujah. Before you even confess your sin, Jesus died on a cross for you. Hallelujah. So there's no excuse. There's no a way to say, I didn't know. So much detail that Minister Julia gave tonight. And I wanted to say that I have a friend in the deliverance ministry that would tell me that this activity with the gang stalking, with the technology, is started with fallen angels. And Julia is the only other person some weeks ago that said that as well. And he's the only one that I heard that from. Because to use something that a fallen angel promotes is an abomination to God. It might not be written in the Bible, but it's beneath me because of the God I serve that only has the right to see me 24/7. Hallelujah. And he, according to Scripture, and as well as I know him, he has not given that privilege to anybody else. So we give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. Minister Julia, your mic is open. Do you have anything else to say before I close out?
Well, I just want to say I'm so blessed by what you said and what Pastor Millicent said, and I really agree with this thing about resurrection because, you know, I'm sorry I didn't time everything just right, but it is so important to realize that because this is a spiritual battle, we've already been promised the victory. And, you know, there's one of my favorite scriptures, Linda, is Romans 8:11, and it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ, and we're talking about resurrection power, raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. And, you know, that word quicken, it means to bring to life. And there have been many days when I would think, oh, Lord, you know, I'm going to fall apart. How am I going to make it? I'm so physically weak or I'm in pain. And I'll never forget the day that the Holy Spirit, he just spoke to my heart and said, I'm a life generator in you. I will generate new life in you.
That's good.
Even though the
yeah.
enemy... Yes. Oh, it was powerful to me, Linda, because, you know, the enemy forces, they have their plans. But God has the final word. And, you know, mm-hmm. God has a government. He has a system of justice. And, you know, when we are walking with him, like Millicent was saying, when we make it our business to see how he thinks and what he requires of us, what it takes to walk in obedience to him, and to me, the first two commandments, you know, Jesus said the whole law hangs two commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so when we pursue that, there's nothing that will be withheld from us as we walk in obedience to the Father. We have an inheritance. You know, I just want to say one other thing. He has been teaching me about Abraham. You know, it says that even as Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness.
As righteousness,
and
yes.
Yes, yes. And so it says, do you not know that you or they, which are of faith, are the same as the children of Abraham? And so, you know, when God blessed Abraham, you know, he pronounced a blessing over him, and he said, I will be an enemy to your enemies.
He made several promises. And it says we that are of faith in Jesus Christ have been adopted into the family. We are now the descendants of Abraham. And the blessings of Abraham belong to us. So, you know, a lot of times when the enemy tries to say, oh, you know, I'm coming after you, I'm going to get you, I'm going to take you down, it's like, no, you don't have the final word. God has the final word. And if I'm walking with him, he has promised the blessings of Abraham to me. And so, you know, there's so many things. I will say, to me, one of the things that has been the strongest lesson that leads to victory is realizing that, you know, in 1 John 5:4, it says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And I remember when I first read that, I thought, okay, I'm not overcoming right now, Lord. What's wrong? Okay, so that's not an automatic thing. It means you have the potential. We've been given this glorious inheritance. It's like a package of blessings that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. And you have to open that package, and you have to discover. And that's why the word, what Millicent was saying, you said it, and I wholeheartedly agree. We've got to get in that Bible because it tells us who we are, what has been done for us through the sacrifice of Yeshua, Jesus. And if we don't know it, then our enemy takes advantage of what we don't know. But I had somebody say to me one time, he said, when you have belief and genuine faith in your heart in God's promises, and faith can be, a word for that could be confidence, you know, confidence that what he says, he means. That word is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away. His words of promise will never pass away. Nothing can stop them to the believer. Okay, so he said when we have faith in God's word, it actually sends a signal to enemy forces that, hey, you can't break through this shield, because, you know, part of the armor is the shield of faith. And so that scripture, it says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world, or you could say this world system. And it says, even our faith. So faith, to me, is one of the most critical aspects. Believing God's promises, believing that he truly loves us. Because I'll tell you, this system, and I just want to say this to anybody that is feeling like, if God loved you, why would he let you suffer like this? Because I used to go through that. And one day I heard the Holy Spirit. He spoke to my heart and he said, you know, the Father has loved you unconditionally. He forgave your sins unconditionally. He's never held them against you. Will you love him unconditionally? And then, you know, he showed me that this system is all about separating us from the love of our Father. And when I realized that, I thought, okay, so what you're teaching me is that I can't go by how I feel. You see, God's love is not dependent on any particular current circumstance you're in. And when you get to the place where you say, it was a big decision for me to not be angry with God, to not feel sorry for myself and constantly identify with being a victim. But I remember one day, after he showed me that, I got up and I said, okay, if I never hear your voice again, if I never see, you know, you come through for me and defeat my enemies, and, you know, if the worst things happen, I'm going to love you unconditionally as you have loved me to save me. And, you know, I'm telling you, Linda, that made such a difference, because I believe when the Father saw that I was not going to withdraw from him because of what I was going through, it was like he just began to flood me with a sense of being loved by him. And I just want to say, anybody out there that feels alone, your Father, this system will try to tell you that God has forsaken you or that he doesn't love you. It's a lie. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He loves you more than you can even imagine. But we're going through a sifting, a refiner's fire right now. And God is looking. He's testing men's hearts to see,
you know, will you really stay with me? Will you really believe even when everything looks like I've left you? And see, when you make that decision that I don't care what it looks like, I've got nowhere, I mean, for me, I said, well, I got nowhere else to go. It's like Peter. He said, well, to whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And so when I made that decision that no matter what the circumstances were, I was going to pursue him and love him and worship him just for who he is, just as he, Yeshua, Jesus, gave his life for me, you know, with unconditional love. You know, he didn't say, well, if you could just do this, because none of us could keep the law. So when you do that, something happens because God is then able to see, okay, this one really wants me, regardless of how they feel. And God just has these ways then of showing us, yes, I am for you. I am for you. But, you know, we've got to be willing to go through the fiery testing of our faith because he says it's more precious than fine gold. And we will come
through. I'm reminded of that scripture that says, will God find faith in the earth?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when Son of
and
Man
returns.
And
there are some of us that still believe God.
Yes.
You know, some people don't have any reason to believe God. You know, and they will judge us and criticize us and give all reasons, even find scripture, why
mm-hmm.
people are going through something. You know, and they're not going through anything. Well, the devil's not going to attack you if you're a false teacher and you're deceived into believing that you're not.
That's
He's not
right.
going to attack you if you are living in sin and you mm-hmm. and because other people don't know it, you're comfortable with it. You know, why should because your choices are to do these things. But
yes.
my choice is to be conscious, God conscious, and to know that my reverence and respect for God, you know, is a priority than to lower my standards. I have found that my standards are higher than some well-known preachers.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe God and I trust him, and I have found out through trusting other people that God says, just trust him. I don't have to trust other people. Just trust him. Millicent, is there anything else that you would like to share before I close?
I just would like to thank you for the opportunity to share again and to invite anyone listening to join us at Refuge from the Storm Church. We meet on starting tomorrow night. We'll be back. We had a little break during the month of August, but we'll be back at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We are studying the chronological Bible. We have just gotten through the Minor Prophets, and so we're going to take off again. Join us if you'd like to know more about the Bible, and we're setting it in the timeline in which it was actually the event happened. So that just makes it so much more meaty for us. And on Thursday evening, we are back with our what we're calling Next Generation Support Group. We started it with the younger people in mind. However, anyone is invited. We come and we talk about our things that we're going through. We share ways, food, things to keep us healthy, exercises and shielding things, as well as talking about the Word of God. We don't do anything at our church without including God in it. So we invite anyone to come join us. And our regular church service meets on Saturday. Tomorrow evening it says at 7:30 Eastern Time. And then Saturday afternoon at 6 p.m. Eastern Time is our regular church service. We do take the communion on the first Saturday of the month, and so join us if you would like to. We certainly invite you to come And then join us as a member. Join us as a member and work with us as we work in the vineyard of the Lord. I take the idea of the authors of experiencing God. We see what God is doing and join him in it. We don't try to make up anything on our own. We always seeking God. What is it that we should be doing? So do join us. Thank you again. God bless you. God bless your ministry. We are praying that he will richly send favor your way and that your tent will be enlarged. God bless
Praise
you.
Praise God. Praise God. I receive that. I do. I do. Minister Julia, last words.
I just want to thank you so much, and I have a prayer group. It's globalawakeningprayer.com is the way to get to the website, and we meet on Monday and Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and then Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time we have a Bible study, and we would love to have anyone join us that loves to dig in the Word, and I just thank you so much, Linda, for the opportunity.
Give your phone number. Give your number. To call on on Wednesday and what other night?
And Monday and Wednesday.
Monday and Wednesday. Nice. Give the number.
It's 515-606-5307, and the access code is 381-878. And anyway, and also if anybody needs to contact me, my personal number is on the website. So I just thank you so much, and I do pray blessings also over you. I'm so grateful, Linda, for your heart to reach out to targeted people. We're in this together, and we are called to be overcomers. And there's so many beautiful promises to the overcomers in Revelation. So I thank you so much for this opportunity. God bless you.
Well, I praise God because he has very different, distinctive ways to bring people together. And I'm mounted up on wings of eagles tonight because the victory, God said, bring this topic from a place of victory. And this is how we have to live daily. So go back to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. Get your elements. Listen to the broadcast again. It'll be on demand within 15, 20 minutes after we close tonight. Take communion again. Listen to the word again. And just continue to live your life from a walk from victory, no matter what anybody says to you, no matter how the depraved gang stalkers surround you, no matter where they meet you at or what their ambitions are, they've lost. You have the victory in Christ. So I'm telling you where the website out, www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And please tell your folks, your people, your friends, your ministry friends, Dr. Millicent, to go to the website and they can hear the rest of what you had to say on the broadcast. I'm so sorry. I apologize to them on the broadcast that I didn't mention that, because in the past I've been so good at mentioning that, reminding people so they'll get off the streaming and call in before 9 p.m. But anyway, we love God. Lord, we thank you for divinely intervening as we spoke highly of you and as you've given us wisdom in how to handle this type of persecution today. Lord, we thank you that this is not of any fault of our own, but that you divinely intervene and you look upon us with your grace and your love. And we stand in agreement with Paul the Apostle that your grace is sufficient, and we thank you. So I'm going to close out right now that only what we do for Christ will last. May the Lord bless you and keep you. I love you. Thank you for listening. Please go to the website. Every time you need encouragement, just use the link, click it on, and be blessed. God bless you. Have a blessed night. Whatever time zone you're in, only what you do for Christ will last. Thank you for joining us.